five wise, five foolish virgins, and the need for intimacy, the need for the supply of oil. So we got to the stage in the parable now where we recognize that five wake up and they find they've got oil, and the other five wake up and they find they've got no oil. Their lamps are going out. In other words, I believe it's talking that at the time before the coming of the Lord, there will be turmoil, there'll be upheaval, there'll be darkness in the earth. You will need to be filled with the Spirit and living and walking in the Spirit to make it through that time. And so they say, give us what you have. Now, normally in the Bible, it talks about giving and sharing and so on. What you've received freely, give to others freely. But in this case, he's saying, no, go and buy for yourselves. So you can't borrow in the end times of someone else. The word buy means to acquire possession by exchange. You actually give something you value to receive something of equal or greater value. You must buy. You've got to pay the personal price. So essentially they're saying the essential thing in the end time will be that you have the anointing, the power, the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, and there is a price to pay for it. You can't just get it off someone else, which is what a lot of the church wants to do, to draw off someone who's anointed, which is okay. It's a part of God's plan to provide, but not build our own prayer life where we're intimate with the Lord and building a life that he loves to fill with the Spirit. Clearly, to have your vessel full of oil is to be filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. To have a charred wick means that there's no oil, there's little flow of God, and I've got a lot of issues and attitudes, and my life is very smoky. So they trimmed their lamp, which was fine, they can all do that, but the oil takes time. There's a price to pay, there's an exchange. Everything in the kingdom has a price on it. And so usually we have to pay that price. So interesting, in Revelation 3:18, Jesus said, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Notice he says, buy from me. So the one who sells is Jesus. You only get the anointing by coming in relationship with him and in prayer. That the oil is the oil of an intimate relationship with him. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit and his work. The Holy Spirit, we need him. We just need the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. I'll anoint you with the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You can't do this without him. And when times get tough and hard, you need him even more. So the Holy Spirit brings revelation of Jesus. The Holy Spirit enlarges our passion for him. The Holy Spirit empowers us to change, shows us the things that aren't quite right, prods us, it's not quite right in there. He makes our hearts soft. We need the Holy Spirit. We need experiences with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. He reveals areas our heart is broken, where we're in pain, where you haven't forgiven. So all of those things that would make our life smoky, charred, bitter, resentful, he shows them up because not because he wants to condemn us, but because he wants us to be clean, be filled with the Spirit, and be a channel for life. He exposes our motivation, why we do stuff. So the way we receive the oil or become filled with the oil, it requires intimacy. You must build an intimate relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. No one can do that for you. You see, there's some things no one can do for you. Like no one can fast for you. Hello? See, no one can give for you. See, you fast, you give, you pray. And when you do these things, God will reward you openly. So there's a life we build with God of intimacy. Intimacy, what does that mean? It means a close affection through a personal relationship. You're actually experiencing him. Intimacy is like a progressive opening and disclosure of your life and his life to you. Intimacy is like a face-to-face connection that's very personal, very private, very affectionate. It's a sharing your life with someone else. That's what intimacy looks like. Intimacy takes time and effort. You can't hurry it. there's a price to pay. So building a life of intimacy, not just do my prayer, it's more than that. This is about more than that. You may start with the praying in tongues, but this is about making an intimate connection where you feel the presence of God, you engage with the presence of God, and it begins to affect you. You're starting to worship Him. Worshiping is what the core of intimacy is about. Where I'm starting to encounter and experience Him and feel His love, He's speaking to me from His Word or speaking directly to my heart. It's got all those things in it. It's very, very personal. And it takes time and it costs you. It costs you humility, humbling yourself that I need the Lord. I need Him. It takes repentance, because in the process of building intimacy with Him, you realize there's things got in your heart that are an obstruction to Him connecting with you. So you repent of those things. It takes some unhurried time. It's a cost to give up time. All of these things, there's a price to pay. It's time spent in prayer. It's time spent in surrendering to Him. Coming into His presence and surrendering, you're letting something go that costs you. Well, I want to do this. No, I'm surrendering it to Him. Getting up early, you're surrendering something to Him. There's a sacrifice in it. And so with God, we build an altar, a place of exchange, a place of encounter. And that altar always in the Bible is always the place of encounter with the natural and the supernatural realm. It was where you offered something. Something was sacrificed, given up and yielded and exchanged for something back. That's what altars are about. So that's why we talk about having your private altar. It's basically, the altar is in our heart, because we come and something is yielded, surrendered, and something is received in exchange. What you receive in exchange is His presence, which is the oil that keeps you alive and ignited. So there's a price. That's why He said you've got to go buy it. Hello? Go buy that. But I just want you to give it to me. Please come up, and I want to come up and have you lay hands on me, and I want to get it. No, I can give you the touch of what God has given me, but tomorrow it's gone. You got to now rise up and build prayer and develop something yourself. Everyone has to do that. It's called the secret place. Secret place is like a marriage bedroom. You know, close the door, and it's you and God. And so intimacy brings us into closer union with Him, and we become filled with His Spirit. You don't always feel something, but there's an impartation out of intimacy. And intimacy brings revelation. He starts to speak to you. So you want to have a journal, because you expect Him to speak and you're going to write stuff down. Intimacy affects us. Moses' face shone out of the intimate connection with God. He didn't even know it was shining, but his face shone with the glory of being in the presence of God. So we need to make ourselves, we need to pay the price. The price for a personal prayer life and walk with God. You pay a price. Because there's other things. You could be watching that on TV, but instead you're doing this. They could be watching something on TV. You say, no, that would defile me. I want to keep my heart for Him. Can you get it? There's actually, the cost is paid in lots of little ways. Lots of little things where you would like to do something. God said, I want you to give. I want you to do this. And in the doing that and responding to His voice, you're building intimacy and oneness with Him. Intimacy leads to unity where you're in one with Him and His life is flowing through you. That's what the oil is about. It's not just about being in a great meeting. Now, in great meetings where there's a reviving and the Spirit of God is poured out, man, do we get filled up with the oil. Oh, it's absolutely want to go there and soak and enjoy it and laugh and roll and cry and weep and pray and repent, all those things. See, that's the oil does that to you. But if it's not happening in a big scale, you've got to actually still be building your own time with the Lord, building your own altar. And so a great example of this, now, I'd love to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm just going to give you some. I'll give you enough to whet your appetite. You go look in the Word yourself. And Esther is a great example of a bride making herself ready. And, of course, you can think, if Esther is the bride who made herself ready, there must be a heap in there what making yourself ready looks like. So go have a look how she prepared herself. What made Esther different? Why was Esther made the queen? Why did Esther find favor? See, she found favor. It means God loved her. When you have favor, you get access. So it's not that God's partial. He doesn't treat people different, but some gain favor because of what they do. And it's all to do with your heart. So if you have a look what made her different, this is what made her different. She wanted to please the king. Everyone else wanted to be the queen. She wanted to please the king. Do you get the subtle difference in that? The others wanted to be something. She wanted to please someone. That's the difference, core of the difference. And when you want to please someone, then what are you going to do? Now, here's what you do. You find out what he likes so you can please him. So she submitted to the Holy Spirit. You find in Esther chapter 2, verse 17, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set a royal crown upon her head and made her the queen instead of Vashti. So that, notice, she found favor. And what was the thing that made her different was the heart. So in verse 15, it said, the maiden pleased him, she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her everything she needed for purification, and she requested nothing but what Haggai, the custodian of the woman, advised. Verse 15. So there's someone called Haggai who's looking after the woman to get them ready for the king. And she wanted to please the king. She said, Haggai knows what to do. I'll ask Haggai and do whatever he tells me to do. I'll do what he tells me to do. Now, Haggai is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The king is a picture of Jesus, the groom. And she asked Haggai, the Holy Spirit, show me what I can do to please the king. Isn't this an amazing story? And so what did Haggai say? Said she requested, in verse 15, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the custodian of the woman, advised. In other words, she put down her own opinions about what would be good for Jesus, and she listened to someone talk to her about what he wanted. Well, in New Zealand, of course, everyone, I like, well, I think, well, I like, I don't like, I don't. Well, listen, she did none of that. She said, what does the king like? I'll do what pleases him. Wow. And so what pleased him? She submitted to the king's cleansing and purification process. Verse 12, she had 6 months with oil of myrrh. Myrrh is has a bitter taste, but it's a sweet perfume. Myrrh is used for anointing oil. And so she had baths. What it speaks of is allowing the Holy Spirit to take you through the process of cleansing and healing from the wounds and hurts that you've had. If you want to have the oil of the king, you want to have the king's approval, then if you want to be prepared, let him have access to your heart to heal what's hurt you, heal what's wounded you, deal with your trauma. Don't keep all that stuff there because it defiles. So she had 6 months where there was oil of myrrh, which was a purification process, and then she had 6 months of perfumes of preparation. She yielded to the beautifying work of the Holy Spirit in her character. She let him work in her life. Notice 6 and 6 are 12. In other words, she submitted to the rule of the Holy Spirit, governance, and he led her through a journey. I want to clean up your heart of the wrong motivations. I want to clean up your heart of the hurts and wounds and things you've gone through. And then I want to cultivate your heart so you develop the heart that pleases the Lord. What pleases the Lord? Jesus said, let me teach you, I am meek and lowly in heart. Humility and meekness. In 1 Peter, it talks about wives, and it says in verse 3, verse 4, let your adorning not be the external, but rather the hidden man of the heart, which is in a meek and a quiet spirit, which is of great beauty and price to the Lord. So what she did was let the Lord work in her heart to prepare her, clean her up, and make her beautiful. See, meekness is beautiful. Humility is beautiful. Pride is ugly. Meekness is beautiful. Anger is ugly. You understand? So she's letting him develop the life of God within her. You're all gone quiet on me. So she just submitted to the process, a process of cleansing and purifying and so on. And then she had made herself ready. And when the king saw her, she had favor and she became the queen. In other words, she became the wife of the king. because she made herself ready. Now, I've rushed over that, of course, but you can understand that within that story, there's immense and enormous detail of what it means to prepare yourself for the king so the king chooses you. Great story. And within it is all the things symbolic of our journey of building intimacy and preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus. It all has to do with your heart and your development of your heart and the qualities of the kingdom within you. The purification and the beauty process. See? And so let's go back to the parable of the virgins again. I just got sidetracked. But this is a good little thing to be sidetracked on, wasn't it? Come on, you get onto that. So Jesus said, Matthew 25, verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you don't know the day nor the hour the Son of Man is coming." So he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And so we need to daily watch and pray. Well, what does that look like? Because I remember going to church, they tell you, watch and pray. And I thought, oh, I need to watch and pray. How do I do it? How do I do it? So to watch means to maintain a state of spiritual alertness, and that's accompanied by prayer and time in the Word. So here's a few simple things. See? Make it a priority. Make it an important part of your life to build a strong prayer life. Strong praying in the Spirit. Daily. Set it aside daily to have time with the Lord. Cultivate an atmosphere around your life. Gratitude. Thankfulness. Praise. Put worship, praise music on. When you're in the presence of the Lord, after you've had the time of praising Him, you start to worship Him, allow yourself to yield to His presence. Allow tears to come if that's what He's doing. Allow yourself to surrender to Him and just love on Him. And maybe you have a journal and you write down. I found it's great to write things down. My prayer to Jesus and or the Father's response. And write down, write a prayer, a simple prayer, and then wait on Him and let Him speak to me. So it's now an intimate relationship where I'm starting to sensitize my spirit to hear Him and to yield to Him. Sometimes I might read, and the things I read really help. I found for a season there, I read the Passion Translation of the Song of Solomon. And I think I wept through it all because it just suddenly made it real. It was a bit hard reading in the other version, but that, and I looked up the notes on it, what it meant. Oh! You know, it's just because it's all about the love between the groom and his bride, his response and her response. And it's just beautiful. You know, tender. So take time to build the two-way communication and just enjoy being with Him. And then it's not just the time alone. Talk to Him through the day. Just bring Him into what you're doing. Talk to Him about it. Here's another thing you can do is allow the Lord to expose and deal with the attitudes and things you're carrying in your heart, to bring heart transformation. That may mean healing. It may mean deliverance. It may mean you've got to repent of something. It may mean you've got to let go of something. Whatever it takes, develop a pure heart. And there's a bit of warfare in it, resisting the corruption and temptations. Okay, so what about the foolish virgins? Let's have a look at the foolish virgins. So Matthew 25, verse 10, "While they went to buy, the groom came, and those who were ready went in, and the door was shut." Dunk! Shut. The time to get in was when he was coming. You had to be prepared. And then afterwards, the other virgins come saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." He said, "I say to you, I do not know you." The issue is being ready. Now, I'm going to go through this a little bit. First of all, have a look what they lost. See, they noticed that they were given a warning. And now the door shut means the opportunity to access that blessing is now over. It's ended at that time. So right now, the door's open, ready to go. But when the Lord comes, the door shuts. In other words, if you're not ready, then the opportunity to enter into the first resurrection goes. Now notice what they said, "Lord, Lord." They're obviously believers. "Lord, Lord, open to us." This is a deep cry. This is a painful cry. Lord, open. Open to us. Let us in. Lord, we've been looking for you. We've been waiting for you. Let us in. And so where are they? They're in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're in grief because there's now a wedding feast taking place. There's the sounds of rejoicing and celebration and the party, and they were called to it and they just weren't ready and missed the bus. I can remember my daughter, one of my daughters was not so good on time. And we're forever trying to get her there on time. So we get to the airport and she's late. And she came up the counter. And this is what they said. They said, but the plane's still there. Let me on. And they said, no, they've shut the door. You can't get on, but it's there. Right in front of me, it's there. Open the door, let me in. She said, no. You needed to plan ahead and be here at the right time, and you weren't. And she had to stand there and watch the plane that was going to go to where she wanted to go on a holiday go away without her on board.
Oh, Daddy.
I didn't want to be like that. I thought, well, you're learning the hard way on this one. You really are. You just got to be ready. So he says, I never knew you. Now that word know, get this, the word know is the word have an intimate relationship with someone. Now, it's not that they weren't saved or weren't virgin or weren't Christians. He said, you never built an intimate relationship and let me talk into your heart and life. That's what is associated with the oil, you see. He's now saying, I never knew you. Now, God says that about someone else too. You find in Matthew 7, chapter 7, about verse 23. And Jesus said, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? You need to do the will of the Father. And he said, for many will say in that day, that's this day here, he's talking about here, Lord, Lord, they're believers. We cast out demons in your name. We did deliverance in your name. We did miracles in your name. And he will say, I never knew you. What? How could they do all that stuff and never know him? He said, you're workers of a lawlessness. It's very simple. He said, you never developed deep intimacy with me. You were always about the ministry. You used the ministry for your own kingdom and your own profit and your own development. It was never about honoring me. You did everything in my name and used what I had given you for your own benefit rather than what I intended. This is not my king. I don't know that. I'm not familiar with that operational style. Does it make sense? I never knew you. And then he talks about the man who built the foundation, the house on the sand and the house on the rock. And it's all the same story. It's about being wise about the coming kingdom and how you build your life, listening to God. Okay, so the wise virgins were ready. They were all ready. They went into the wedding. They were lived in readiness. They had paid a price. They'd built intimacy. They had a prayer relationship. They carried the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And now the time has come. They are ready and with joy they enter in. And Paul tells us, he exhorts the church, be wise, not foolish. Don't be like the foolish one. See? In Ephesians 5, verse 15 through to 18, he makes it very clear what he's talking about. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So he's saying, live your life, not as foolish people, but as wise people. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, don't just waste time, fritter time, watching this, watching that, talking this, gossiping that. Don't waste your time. You've only got a certain allocated time. Live it well. Don't be unwise. Don't be stupid. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So to be wise means you understand what God wants and you do it. And he says, don't be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's really clear. You need to study and know what God is doing and what he's saying to you, and you need to make sure you get filled up with the Holy Ghost. And that word be filled with the Holy Ghost is a continual, ongoing filling with the oil, filling with the Holy Ghost that you only get out of your time with God. Don't be foolish. See, notice there, they go into the feast. God has prepared a feast. Now, I love going to a big meal. You know, and a wedding, let's face it, some wedding feasts are really something else. You look in, it's all beautifully decorated and everything's laid out. The tables are laid out. Oh, that's just wonderful. And then there's Saint Jesus knows how to put on a feast. He says, I long to eat with you and drink with you in the kingdom. There's a great joyful marriage supper of the Lamb where he gathers those who love him and they experience his love and his favor and his presence. I would never want to miss that. Oh, let me in. No, I gave you plenty of warning and you preached about it. You needed to do it. So, entrance to the marriage banquet is entrance to the coming kingdom and entrance to ruling with Christ. See? The reward is an intimate relationship with Jesus, a closeness to him, because in your resurrection body you're given access to him. There are levels of access to know him. Secondly, it means you will be given authority. Esther was given authority as a queen. There are different ranks of responsibility and authority. In glory, there are different realms of glory in that coming kingdom. You are called to that deep intimacy. You are called to that authority and responsibility. You are called to the glory of God. You're called to all those things. How amazing. How amazing. Can you see those? They ask the question, tell us about the end of the age and your coming. And he told them, there was a wise servant and a foolish servant. There were wise virgins and there were foolish virgins. There were stewards giving talents. And the command all through all of them is, something great is about to happen. Make sure you're not like the foolish ones. Make sure you are the wise ones. The wise servant who had a great heart, a loving heart to the people of God, wasn't embittered, wasn't harsh, wasn't hard. He served the people, gave them what the Holy Ghost was directing him to do. Not the foolish one who mistreated them and became hard and neglected to do what he should do. The wise virgins who paid the price to build a prayer life, to build intimacy, to yield and let the Holy Spirit work in their heart to prepare them so they're ready for the coming King, wanting to please him. And the servants who labored and served and multiplied what they were given. They could do it because they had intimacy. They could do it because they understood the heart of the King. These are powerful stories. There are other stories, and there was more teaching on it all. It's just such a wealth. But what I've tried to do is to help you see the coming kingdom of God in power and glory, which starts now in your heart, that there are rewards in that coming kingdom, that we must qualify for the rewards, and these stories of Jesus ignite what that looks like. It involves how you treat God's people. It involves your own life with God. It involves your service and being productive in whatever you are. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk and get overdone by what's going on in the world, intoxicated with all the problems. Rather, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what we want to finish on tonight. Just the opportunity for us now to reach out and worship him and believe for his Spirit to just fill us again. I just feel it'd be great to finish tonight's message with just us coming into a place of worship and asking the Holy Spirit to come on us and fill up those empty vessels. Say amen? Oh, you're quiet. It's got so quiet. So come on, we're going to get the worship team up just quietly. Just now they can come up and we're going to begin to lift up and exalt Jesus again. So come on, let's come. Let's come and let's sing and let's worship the Lord together. And there was belief for the Holy Spirit to come on you. Oh, got the nice guitars. That's the way. We'll be right. We'll be right. We'll be right. Come on, just lift your hands to him right now. Oh, I love that passage. We used to sing the song, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Tonight we just want to worship him. Be glad and rejoice. Give honor to the groom, Jesus Christ. I feel his presence coming now. We honor our groom. We honor Jesus Christ. He loves us deeply. How great thou God.
our coming groom. Oh, we eagerly await your coming. Lord, today we're so excited. A coming kingdom in power and glory. We rejoice as we read in Daniel, the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom and the dominion and the power and the glory. The time came when the saints inherited the kingdom. And what joy in your heart, seeing the result of your labor fulfilled. Just reach out to him tonight. I believe he wants to fill people. I like those ladies in the second row in front of me. I like you to come here and stand in front of me. I believe the Spirit of God is just going to come on you in a moment. Just those ladies in that second row, just come. Just come, just come and stand right here in the front. Just come, that's right. Just come a bit further forward, a bit further forward. That's right, there's the light. Might just have some people behind them just in case something, just in case. Just, I want you to lift your hands up like you're reaching out for the fresh oil. And just fix your mind on him. The groom coming. This is our God and we have waited for him. See, I can feel his presence coming right now. Lord, I'm asking right now you'd fill them all with the oil of the Spirit. I'm asking, Lord, you'd just fill, that you'd overflow, begin to come and just pour and pour and pour. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, come, come, come. Presence of God, just enjoy it. Just yield, there's someone behind you, catch you. Don't worry about falling. Thank you, Lord, come, come, fill, 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 fill. Holy Spirit, come, there it is. God's lifting the burden you've carried. It's been hard. There's been a lot of grief. Let it go to him. Let it go. He just take. Oh, there it is. Presence of God coming on you right now. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Come. I just see the deep love the Lord has for you. I see you've there's been injustice, but you've remained faithful to him. Let him heal your heart right now. So in love with him. He's my life, I hear you say. Lord, pour out your love on her right now. Oh, there it is. You can feel his love just flowing into you right now. Strength, strength, strength. Fire coming into his spirit. Spirit of God, touch you right now. There. Oh, presence of God all over you. Right. Oh, there it is. Presence of God, the fire of God. Right now. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just see. Woman of prayer. Lord, fill the oil. Fill her up. Let her feel the weight of glory coming upon her, Lord. Glory, more glory, greater weight of glory. Come. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Now, don't wait to come up the front. You can just start to receive yourself, because what's happening here, God wants to bring it over you as well. You just move back so you've got your legs against your chair, and then you got a catcher behind you. Holy Ghost, come. Come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There it is. He's upon you. Love him. Love him. That's the way. Love him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Reveal yourself to her. Spirit of God, come. Come on, people, right now, Lord. Just reach your hand out to him now. Lord, I ask that your presence would come upon people. I ask that the weight of your glory would begin to fall upon people now. There it is. Oh. We want to have a fresh love for you. Oh, there it is. Presence of God. Touch, 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 Lord. Touch. I just want to release this anointing over you right now, wherever you are. I feel a wave of God's presence about to just flow over people. Reach out to him with hunger. Jesus, Jesus, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. Fill me. That's right. Reach out with hunger. Reach out with hunger. Now I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost over your life. Three, two, one. Receive now in Jesus' name. 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 Let that fire come on. Let people feel your love, your presence, touching them. Touch, touch. Just let the tears go. Disappointment. Jesus spoke to me one day. I wrote to him and I said, Jesus, I feel disappointed about these things. And I wrote down each thing I felt disappointed about. And I said, I think it's affecting me, Lord. Help me. I feel like I'm drawing back from you because of disappointment. And I waited on him. And he spoke to me and said, I want to teach you about disappointment. Disappointments accumulate if you don't resolve them. Disappointments quench the fire in your heart and cause you to draw back from me. Disappointments are exploited by the enemy to war against you. Disappointments take you out of your destiny. You have to face your disappointments and let the Lord have them. And I just began to weep over each one. So disappointed. Felt so unfair. And as I did, the Lord took it out. Healed that wound. Began to restore joy. Love for him again. Spirit of God, come on right now. How we love you, Lord. We just love your presence. Lord, start to heal people. You've got sickness in your body, reach out for him to heal you now. His presence is here. Presence of God is here. Presence of God is here. Our groom. This is our God. We have waited for him. Our prayer, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom, let your rule. We long for it. We don't long for the news we hear and see on TV. What we long is for your kingdom to come in power and glory. Come, Lord, fill this place tonight. Fill, let your glory start to rest on us. Let that glory come, resting over the whole house, refreshing us, healing us, setting us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we love your presence. We love you. More oil, Lord. More oil. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us with fresh oil. Fill us with fresh oil. Isn't it wonderful? The oil of his presence. All of his presence. All of his presence. Oil. Oil. Fire coming upon your life tonight, igniting you again. Fresh passion. Fire, fresh fire, fire, fire. Let the anointing fall. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord. More of your presence, more of your anointing. We wait on you. We just worship you, Lord. I just speak right now into the spirit realm. I speak to every spirit of fear, every spirit of heaviness, every spirit of witchcraft, every troubling spirit, every spirit of infirmity. I speak to you now. When I count to three, you will leave people here that you've been oppressing. Infirmities, oppression, fear, torment. In the name of Jesus. One. Two. Three. Go in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your glory increase now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, your presence. Oh, your glory. How we long for your glory. Someone else, just reach out, just worship him, tell him you hunger for him, tell him you love him, and while you're doing this, you're quietly listening as well. He may want to speak to you, talk to you, tell you how much he loves you. Touch. Let the hunger arise for revelation. Bring again the flows of revelation he's enjoyed before. Cause all things to come again. Cause new things to come. Old and new. Bringing a whole flood of revelation teaching. Come, Lord. Come, come. With power. So good. So good. So good. So good. Thank you, Lord. What a nice way to finish tonight. There you go. Okay, Wiz.
Very, very, very good. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for the your Spirit just sealing these things in our hearts. Every revelation we've received, every insight, Lord, let it be sealed. Let it become part of us. Let it become bred in us. And Lord, we thank you that over these next days, maybe weeks, Lord, the light will just go on in so many areas because of what's been opened up over this last 2 days. Lord, may it result in transformation. May it result in Holy Spirit-led action. May it result in greater sense of peace and focus. May it result in a greater sense of love and excitement and zeal for you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. Amen. We're back here tomorrow for those who are part of the